Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. More of our sisters are in hospital now. All of them very ill. If we don't get out of here within the next few months, many more of our girls won't make it. Food is coming into the camp, but not for us. It is for the hard workers. The nursing staff who are working day and night without a let-up have to buy everything. We were all invited to a dance and pork supper by the Japanese a few days ago. Dance? We can hardly walk. A few of the Japs' girlfriends went along. Next day, the Japs ordered that what was left of the pork was to be divided between the hospital patients and hospital staff. We had one pig's trotter between us as our share. It was wonderful. Tenko still goes on at 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. daily. We have to line up and wait for hours, as usual. Except Kong. She can get away with being late every time.
Oh, for goodness sake, why won't the guard hurry? I've got work to do.
I'm on duty in a few minutes. I can't stand round here like this.
You know, as this happens twice a day, every day, you'd think we'd give over being annoyed at being kept standing around.
Yeah, but it's such a waste of time, Jeff.
Who's watching the fire?
Oh, Kong is. She strolled up a while ago and said leave it to her.
Well, at least there won't be any scene about one of us being late. She'll probably keep the guard waiting.
She does that every day now. It's beautiful to watch her amble into line while the nips stand fuming and not daring to say a word.
Even that sneaky little Amana waits for her. They don't seem to know what to do with the Chinese. They're certainly too scared to punish them.
Mm. Speak of the devil. Here comes Amana.
Wouldn't you know, he sneaked through the rubber to land on us from a different direction to see if he can catch us late for Tenko.
Hattie, hattie, ho, Mats.
Hattie, hattie, ho, Mats.
Hattie, hattie, ho, Mats.
Who is missing from this place? Answer! Who is missing from here?
I am.
So.
Hurry, there is so much to do. We have waited long enough.
Come on. Stand in line. You, stand up there.
Hattie, hattie, ho, Mats. Hattie, hattie, ho, Mats.
Hattie, hattie,
home. Shorty, did you hear Kong this morning at Tenko?
I knew there was something going on, but I couldn't hear what it was, Jeff. I was right down the end of the line.
Oh, it was beautiful. She just strolled into line late and then told Amana to hurry up. We'd waited long enough.
What did Amana say?
Not a word.
Oh,
have you washed the lampglass yet from the ward?
Oh, do it now. Then what happened?
Well, we thought Amana would burst with suppressed rage. But he just went on down the line.
Oh. Here's the lampglass.
Jeff?
Yes?
Oh, drat.
What was that?
The lamp glass.
Oh, dear. Who dropped it?
Oh, we both did. I handed it to Jeff just as he turned to speak to you.
Oh, I'd better go and report it to the guard. We have to have another one. You won't be in a very good mood. Shorty? Where are you, Shorty?
I'm out here, Jeff.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, what's up?
Oh, Amana was on duty.
Oh.
Jumping mad about the lamp, screamed and ranted like a lunatic. Wants to know who broke it. I am to send the culprit to the guardhouse at once.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Did you tell him it was us?
I didn't have to. He sent me flying with a flea in my ear.
Yeah. What's he going to do now?
He's waiting for the criminal to appear. The punishment is to stand at attention all day at the guardhouse.
Hello, Sister Jeff. Hello, Sister Shorty. Oh. What is the matter?
Oh, Kong. Oh, we broke a lamp glass, and now we have to go and stand all day outside the guardhouse.
Who says this?
Amana.
Did you tell him you had broken it?
He didn't give me a chance, Kong. He sent me flying back here to the hospital.
Mm, that is good.
Oh, he'll find out.
He's in a foul mood.
He is not a nice man, that one.
That's one way of putting it.
Do not worry. I will go to the guardhouse.
Oh, don't be silly, Kong. You didn't break it. Why should you take the blame?
I will not take anything from these people. I will see you later, Sister Jeff, Sister Shaw.
Well,
if he tries to punish her, we'll go and tell him the truth, Shorty.
Oh, of course. But I bet he won't. Not Kong.
No, I've heard everything.
Oh, what's happened now, Blanche?
There are two Indonesian families who have taken to eating snakes.
Oh, what are we coming to?
How revolting.
They should have plenty to eat. The camp is alive with snakes of every kind.
Oh, well, they'll have a varied diet.
But that's not all. They also eat rats.
Oh, now that is the end.
They say they must have their protein, and that's the only way they can get enough.
Oh, no.
You serious?
Certainly. They're paying 2 guilders 50 cents for a good-sized rat, so I'm told.
Well, we should go into business as rat catchers while the market holds.
Oh, that's an idea.
We better get on with some work while our energy holds. Come on, Shorty.
Order.
And don't let's break anything.
Oh, goodness, I'm tired. This hour off duty seems to rush past, doesn't it?
Hmm.
What are you doing, Jeff?
Making a light.
A light? How?
Oh, it's just a tin with a piece of rag in it that sticks up through this bit of wire, see?
Yes, but what do you burn in it?
Oh, there's plenty of red palm oil. Came in a day or so ago. Gallons of it.
I know, but I'd never have thought of doing that with it. Oh, I must make one.
Well, it's better than trying to go to bed in the dark. At least this will give us a bit of light to put up mosquito nets.
Sister Jeff?
Oh, that's Kong. Yes, Kong?
May I come in, or do I disturb you?
No, come in. Did you see Amana?
What happened? What did he say?
Nothing, Sister Mix.
I can't believe that.
Truly. I told him the wind had broken the lamp glass and that we must have another to replace it.
Then what happened?
I just walked away.
The wind! Oh, Kong, you're marvelous.
Well, Sister Jeff and Sister Shorty are as frail as the wind to look at. Anyway, it does not matter what one says to these people.
Thank you, Kong, for getting us out of that.
It is nothing, Sister Jeff. Oh, what is it that you are making?
Jeff's inventing a lamp. If we have a couple of them in the hut, we'll be able to see what we're doing when we hang our nets at night.
The palm oil lamps are a great success. It's good to have this oil again. For the last 6 months, we only had enough to use as dressings at the hospital for tropical ulcers and all infections. Now, we cook with it and see by it. It's supposed to be full of vitamins, so should help us. Goodness knows we need anything we can get to build us up. But we still can't come at eating rats like the Indonesians. Yesterday, Blanche tried them out on their offer of 2 guilders 50 for a rat. It was very early in the morning. We were still lying on our bed space when Blanche called out.
Hey, look!
What? Oh, what's the matter?
I've got 2.50 in my corn basket.
What are you talking about, Blanche?
Oh, Miss Net, I'm tangled up. Oh, sorry, Jeff.
Don't mind me. Oh. You having a nightmare or what?
No, look in my corn basket hanging up there.
What about it?
Oh, a rat.
Oh, horrible thing.
Don't be silly, it's worth money.
You are having a nightmare.
Now, look, stop getting dressed. It's not
time to get up yet. Listen, that raft is worth 2 guilders 50 cents, I hope. I'm taking it straight to the Indonesians in Hutter Levin, and I'll sell it to them.
Oh, well, that's different.
Hey, look out. If you drop it on me, I'll never forgive you.
Oh, it's quite safe. This might turn out to be quite a business.
Where's Blanche, Jeff?
Oh, she's dashed off to sell a rat.
Oh, I see. A what?
There was a rat swinging in her corn basket. She leapt up at the crack of sparrow twit to sell it at 11.
Well, of all things.
Oh, isn't that her coming up the rise?
Yes. She doesn't seem to have the swinging step of a successful business magnate, does she?
No. Looks more like a promoter who's lost all.
Mm.
Hey, how did it go, Blanche?
Straight out of the basket.
Hey?
The wretched thing got out of the basket just as I was delivering it.
Oh, bad luck, Blanche.
Are they really paying 2 guilders 50 for them, Blanche?
No. They offered me 1 guilder 20 cents.
Oh, must have been a bit on the small side.
Good morning.
Morning, Mitz.
Oh, hello, Mitz. Coming to debug your net?
No, Jeff.
I've got some news.
Oh, now what?
Well, you know those 3 planters' homes on top of the hill outside the camp?
Yeah.
They are now occupied by German women and children.
Huh? Well, where have they sprung from?
I don't know. But they look well-dressed and well-fed. Just like normal people we used to see in pre-war days.
I forget what they look like.
They are not allowed to talk to them or communicate with them in any way. But, wait for it, we're to share our food with them.
We have to do what, dear?
Yes.
But that can't be true, Miss. Surely it's one of those famous rumors. Not even the Japs could expect our rations to stretch any further.
Maybe right, but that's what I was told.
Oh, no.
Now, I suppose we'll be told officially, if it's true.
It was confirmed. It was true. Our people had to go and collect the Germans' food buckets, carry them that long way down the hill, over the slippery old bridge, to the kitchens for their rations. And then carry them back up the hill again. A Jap guard accompanies the food carriers to see no one speaks to the people on the hill. As if we have time to waste talking to them. It's bad enough having to wait on them, and to give up our precious food to well-fed fraus and their plump children. Things are certainly grim, but somehow there's always something to laugh about. We have one of the German women from the hill in hospital. The Japs are in a flap trying to get something to cure her and get her out quickly before any of us start asking her questions. She's in a corner of the ward with a guard standing over her all the time. Her 10 stone looks very solid against our lightweights, and she isn't nearly as ill as our own people. The other morning I was on duty when one of the Dutch sisters came to me.
Sister Jeff, could I speak to you for a moment?
Yes, sister, what is it?
Our German patient is to have a klezmer. I would like you to give it.
Yes, sister. Now?
If you please.
I'll see what I can find to use.
I will await you in the ward.
Hello, Jeff. What are you grinning about?
I'll tell you later, Mitz.
Hello, Mitz. What's new?
Oh, not a thing that I know of, Trot. Oh, yes.
What?
Rat and snake eating has been prohibited by the doctors.
Well, I should think so. I've never heard anything so revolting.
Oh, I suppose the poor things are getting desperate. Anyway, one member of the family from Hut 11 was taken to hospital in a most peculiar condition and died a few hours later. So snakes and rats are taboo.
Oh, I wish we were taboo to the snakes and rats.
Oh, here comes Jeff.
She's done double duty today again.
Oh, who was off?
By McElney. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Trot. I'll move over, Mitz. If I don't sit down, I'll fall down.
Here.
Oh, dear, I've had a scream of an afternoon.
You were smiling like a Cheshire cat when I saw you before. What was going on?
Well, one of the nuns asked me to give our German friend a klezmer.
Oh, good gracious, what will?
Well, that's what I thought, Trot. However, I scratched around looking for bits and pieces, and eventually I was ready to go into action.
Oh, the poor woman.
It was an international event. An Australian nurse instructed by a Dutch nun to give treatment to a German woman in the presence of a Japanese soldier.
Oh, Jeff, don't tell me the guard stayed.
Oh, first thing I did was to put him outside the door. He was more than willing to go when he saw all the odd apparatus ready.
Has the patient recovered?
Oh, of course. It's most successful.
You know, I sometimes wonder if we'll have forgotten how to use instruments or how to nurse with any proper equipment.
Don't worry, it's like riding a bicycle. You never forget.
Well, I've never been able to ride a bicycle. I don't see what that's got to do with it at all, miss.
Don't let it worry you, Trot. Come and see what we can find to eat.
Well, we better hurry. It's about time for Tenko. Coming, Jeff?
More letters and cables have come for us from home. They are 1943 and early 1944 ones this time. As I opened my first letter, a snap popped out of it and showed me my sister's family. The boy, lanky and long. He'd been a little boy of three when I left home. And sitting beside him, a little girl about two, quite a stranger to me, yet somehow familiar. The news from Australia has us completely baffled.
Oh, I can't get the hang of this at all. The men all seem to be demobbed. Is the war over and they've forgotten to tell us?
It does seem funny. One woman just told me her husband is back in Bangkok opening a bank.
What about you, Jeff? Your family talking of peace and plenty? Jeff!
What? Oh, sorry, Mitz. I was looking at this photo. What did you say?
Doesn't matter, old thing. I thought you'd read your letters.
No, not yet. Look at this snapshot. Here, you take it. I want to open my cables.
Oh, aren't they fine-looking kids?
Oh, the boy looks like Jeff. And will you look at the fat little legs the baby has?
Oh, she looks like an angel.
No. Oh, no.
What is it? Jeff, what's the matter?
It's not true. It can't be true. Where's the other one? This one will tell me it's not true.
Here, Jeff, let me open it for you. There.
It is true. He's dead. My brother's dead. That's what it says, isn't it? He's dead.
Yes, Jeff. Come inside the hut, dear.
Just leave me alone.
Jeff?
Yes?
Can't you sleep?
No, Mitz. Did I wake you?
No, I was just lying here.
I think I'll go out for a walk. It's so hot in here.
It's very late.
Well, I won't go far.
Will you be all right?
Of course. Go to sleep, Mitz.
Don't wander too far, Jeff.
No, I won't.
Just go along the track towards the hospital. Oh, what a heavenly night. Full moon. It looks like snow. Funny how a thing that has happened 2 years ago can be now. If I'd known about his death 2 years ago when it happened, I'd be used to it now. All that time not knowing. I suppose if I'd known about it then, I wouldn't be wandering about out here tonight. It's very beautiful. The shadow of that fern looks like black lace on the rocks. What's that? Can't be the wind, it's so still. I'd better go back, it might be one of the guards. Oh, look. Coming through the trees. A deer. Yes, it's coming right along the path. And two tiny ones trotting beside her. Oh, how gentle they look. Like a Christmas car. They've seen me. Into the creek. They've jumped into the creek. And I hope they get away to safety. They're not safe here, poor mites. I must go back.
It's all very well you saying there are dear little deers wandering about, Jeff, but it can't be deers that make that peculiar noise in the creek at night. It sounds as if it's straining food through its snout.
Well, it could be. It's enough stuff floats down from the kitchens, rotting vegetables and stuff.
And that's another thing. I suppose it is the only way to get the rubbish out of the camp, by floating it down the stream. It's awful to wash ourselves and our clothes in among it.
Mm, you never feel clean, do you?
Val thinks that animal's a wild boar.
It could be. They feed on rubbish, don't they?
Don't we all? Well, I'm going to bed.
Oh, me too.
Coming, Jeff?
Presently. It's cooler out here. I'll stay for a while.
Animal! Animal!
Oh, what's
that?
Don't make such a noise!
What on earth? I don't know. The Jap guard just went flying past Manatee's rifle.
Oh, it's no use trying to sleep with that sort of din going on. Oh, what a wonderful moon. It's as clear as day. What was that fellow yelling about, Jeff?
I don't know. He was traveling at a terrific speed.
Now, where did he come from?
I think he was guarding the hospital.
There's one of the doctors coming out of their hut. She must be going to...
Mitz! Look. She's dashed back inside again.
Oh, what is the matter with everyone? I'm going to look.
Come back, Mitz! Mitz, don't go out there. Look! It's a tiger. Look! Quick! Quick, get inside!
Now, what do you mean, get inside? I'm in. Come on, Jeff.
The tiger was only a few yards away. But it didn't seem to care for the look of the place, or... perhaps it knew of a better hunting ground. Anyway, it wandered away again. It has reappeared in the camp on top of the hill for two or three nights. So far, nobody is missing. 19th of July, 1945. Wynne Davis, our Winnie Mae, died today. After being desperately ill for some weeks, poor kid.
It's only a week or so ago that Wynne had her 30th birthday.
Yes. Now, I can't imagine not seeing Wynne again.
Die now, after all the awfully long years of internment.
I shall never forget how wonderful Wynne was to me during my first weeks of internment, when my fingers and hands were burnt and bandaged, and I was so useless.
Oh, Wynne was wonderful to everybody, Jeff. She was always doing something for one or the other of us. Making shorts, saving a little bit of food here and there for anyone who was extra ill or tired out.
I thought when Pat Gunter managed to work wonders and get a few eggs and potatoes on the black market, she might have pulled through.
Oh, Pat did her best. We all did, but it just isn't enough. When you're as ill as Wynne was, just having an occasional egg and potato won't help. Oh, Jeff, what are we going to do?
Hang on. That's all we can do.
Doc Freeman, Pat Blake, Jenny Greer, Woody. All of them ill, really ill. Tweedy looks terrible.
She still persists in doing too much. She's lost 7 stone so far.
Shorty looks as if she'd blow over if she went outside in the wind.
You should talk.
Oh, I'm all right. Anyway, you don't look so immense yourself. But we'll get through. We must. We've come so far. Oh, Jeff, that's what breaks my heart. To have stood everything that's happened to us and to go now. I don't think I could bear that.
I thought of Jean Ashton and Wilma Oram, both doing double hospital duty because two of the girls are stricken in our hut. Of Val, still cutting wood now that her thumb is better. Del, walking around like a grey shadow. Every one of them not complaining. Not really. Taking it all and waiting, waiting. Waiting to know which it will be. Home or here. And never showing a sign of the constant strain of this terrible waiting. Dear God, what guts these girls have.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.